Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsibility for the 19th of Shavat. Now, I hope you know that I am enthusiastic about all the Shavuot that we get to see together. I appreciate your coming, and I appreciate the opportunity to experience this wealth of Chazal's literature, rabbinic literature from our times, of rabbis of our times who are laying out halakha for us in these very clear and very interesting ways. But I'm particularly interested about today's tshuva, sadly for reasons that have less to do with the actual content, which is fine and good also, but more with the personal dynamics. This is from Shut Minchat Shlomo Tinyana, the later volumes of Minchat Shlomo, the two to three in one book, Simon Chaf, number 20. And it's about wearing a hearing aid on Shabbat, and even turning on a hearing aid on Shabbat. And that's the question. And the question came from Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was 29 years older than Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So this tshuva is dated, his first tshuva is dated the 19th of Shvat of Tav Shin Gimel, 1943. The 19th of Shvat, early 1943. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is responding to a question of Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. How could that happen? Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was a tremendous gadol in America, and he's a man in his early to mid-50s, and the young Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's in his early 30s, is responding to him. So the answer is, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin writes a question, we'll review his question, then we'll see how Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach managed to get involved. So the question is, you have a hearing aid. Now at the time, the way that this hearing aid is described is that there's the earpiece, right, and then there's like the battery pack, and the battery pack was larger, it didn't fit in the ear or anything like that. You would have it connected to the ear and you would wear it in a pocket, basically. So the question is, one, are these things muktzah on Shabbat? So the question, the reason why it seems like Henkin doesn't explain why he thinks they might be muktzah, he just asked whether they might be muktzah. I think the question, it seems like the question is, you might be turning them on or off, and it's the kind of thing that's electric, and therefore you think it might be muktzah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman would respond to that in his tshuva. Is it muktzah? Can you put the earpiece in your ear on Shabbat? Meaning, can you attach the earpiece to your ear on Shabbat, or is that a problem? Although it certainly seems like you could leave it in from Erev Shabbos. Then in those days, it seems like maybe because the batteries were so expensive or the power was so expensive that you would use it for when you wanted to hear something and then turn it off. You wouldn't just leave it on. But for Shabbos, you could put it in and leave it on. And so if it's not muktzah, this is the third question that Henkin asks. If it's not muktzah and you can use it on Shabbos, can you take it out on Shabbos? Can you take it out? Can you wear it outside? Can you walk in a place where there's no Eruv? So he says, I've seen there's two parts to it. There's the ear part and then the battery. So the battery pack, he says, can you maybe tie it onto your clothing or sew it onto your clothing, and then it would be, he says, Ke'ein tachshit ala chalak alyon. You can make it like a decoration. This is true decoration we'll get into a little bit later in the tshuva as well. But can you make it like a decoration, meaning, and therefore you'd be allowed to wear it on Shabbat, and therefore the person who needs this hearing aid can wear it on Shabbat and walk around with it? So that's the question Yosef Eliyahu Henkin asks. Oh, and then one more piece, I'm sorry. He says also, during the week, when people use it, they close it, they turn it off. So on Shabbos, certainly, he says, you can't turn it on and off. So we can say that you can put some kind of a protective cover on it, some kind of a tape or something on it, to make sure that you don't turn it on or off on Shabbat. And then to explain why this is such an important issue, he says, you know, people who can't hear need to hear, and this is a very important need for them, and therefore, I really want to know about this. He says, for sure, you in Israel have already dealt with this issue, and since you've already, I can be confident you've dealt with this issue, you can tell me what the halach is about it, and then he closes with a greeting. That's Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who was writing to Issa Zalman Meltzer. Issa Zalman Meltzer was 11 years older than Rav Henkin, and had been Rav Henkin's Rebbe back in Europe. Rav Henkin had studied in his yeshiva. So that's where it comes. Now, on the 19th of Shvat of Tav Shin Gimel, 19th of Shvat of 1943, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes back to Rav Henkin. And he says, I want you to know that I was recently visiting Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, meaning they both lived in Yerushalayim. He says, I was visiting Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer points out your letter to me. And Rav Issa Zalman says, doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to write an answer. The reason he wants to write an answer, he says, he's never seen a machine like this Miyamab. Now, you have to remember, if Henkin is 53, 54, Rav Zalman's in his middle 60s at this point. So it's interesting to me, I don't know Rav Zalman at all, and he doesn't leave a book of Tshuvot that I know of, certainly not dated Tshuvot that come up in my Bar Ilan, but it's interesting, he doesn't say, can you bring me a hearing aid like this, and I'll look into it, I'll give the answer. He apparently said to Rav Zalman, can you deal with this? Now, in fairness to Rav Zalman, it is true that Rav Shlomo Zalman, around this time, by this time or around this time, was very much involved in questions of electricity and halacha and how they should be treated. And some of his early tshuvot, and we'll see evidence of this in our discussion as well, he's a lot more mekel than we end up being about these kinds of things. And so it could be that Rav Zalman didn't mean, I've never seen it and I couldn't possibly learn. He means, you already have done a lot of the work, can you please answer? So therefore, with apologies, not my apologies, Rav Shlomo Zalman's apologies, he apologizes for Henkin because he's writing a man 20 years old who's also certainly a great Torah scholar. He says, I'm writing you a few things that I know, and they're comments that I'm making. So he says, first of all, he says, I don't think you don't have to worry about Isra Muksa at all. Which is very interesting because Rav Henkin assumed it was Muksa. He was discouraged, but he says, there's no Muksa problem. Why is there no Muksa problem? It's an electronic appliance, electronic item. So he says, well, it doesn't count as a kli shemalachto isser. There are different categories of muktzah that we have in halacha. One is called the kli shemalachto isser. Kli shemalachto isser would be something whose main purpose, essential purpose, would be for a prohibited Shabbos activity. So the example that came to my mind is, let's say, a cell phone. Right? A cell phone is something which you can't use it for its main activity on Shabbos. Now, if it's turned off, and you're going to use it for goof, well, that's a whole set of questions. But the fundamental, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even a kli shemalachto l'iser is mutar al kol panim l'tzorech gufo. If you need it just for its physical body in some way, that you're allowed to do. So with the battery pack, you could say, maybe you're not allowed to use this. You're not going to turn it on or off on Shabbos, right? That you can't do. But all you really need it for is Tzorech Gufo, to carry it with you so that you can leave the earpiece. And the earpiece isn't doing anything usher on Shabbos, although he'll get to whether it is or is not. But fundamentally, that's what he thinks. And therefore, he thinks there shouldn't be a muksa issue for that reason. Then you can say, well, but it is a very expensive item. And very expensive items, we have another category of muksa in halacha called the muksa machmar chisaron kis. Muksa machmar chisaron kis means that there are things that are so expensive, we tend not to move them. So on Shabbos, we're not allowed to move them either. And there, we're not even allowed to move them l'tzorech gufo if we want to make use of their physical body for a reason. So examples are a shochet's knife. So a shochet's knife is very expensive and very delicate because if it gets any dings in the knife, any blemishes in the knife, so it's not a completely smooth cut, you can't use that knife anymore until you've shaved it down or whatever it is you do to restore the smoothness, the complete smoothness of the cut. Another example, it seems to me, would be if you have a very expensive painting that hangs on the wall, then all it does is hangs on the wall. It's very expensive, so you wouldn't tend to move it. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it if you're going to make use of it for itself. You want to use that frame for some reason, or whatever it is, you can't. So you might have thought that about the battery pack. So Rav Orbach says to us, that's only the whole idea of muksa machmar chisaron kis. If you have a very expensive item that becomes muksa because people don't tend to use it on Shabbat, that you can't use it at all on Shabbat, that's when you're using it for something that it's not its ordinary use. Now, a shochet knife is a good example because you can't use it on Shabbat for its general use. I guess you could if you were slaughtering an animal for somebody who was ill, but then if you're doing it to save a life, you could move the knife because muksa wouldn't get in the way anyway. But fundamentally, basically, you can't slaughter animals on Shabbat. So if you have a knife whose purpose is to slaughter animals in a kosher way, and is muksa machmaskaran kis, and is muksa because of the loss that would be involved if it got damaged, so you can't do that. And there's no way to do that. But all of those cases are where it's not being used for the purpose that it was made for. But if you have an expensive item, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and if you think about it for a minute, we'll realize how true that has to be, and you're going to use it for its ordinary use, for the use that it's made for, there's no muksa machmal chisaron kis. There can't be, you say it's muksa because you won't use it. But the answer is, yes, you will use it for this purpose. So for example, if somebody had, the example that came to my mind, was if somebody has, you know, wonderful china that's so expensive, they never, ever use it really, except for important guests. So they don't use it on Shabbos. It's not their Shabbos china. So you might imagine calling that muksa machmal chisaron kis, but if an important guest showed up one Shabbos unexpectedly, then it would be muksa because, anyway, I think that's true. Maybe if it's unexpected, anyway. But fundamentally, Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying, I don't care how expensive the battery, the hearing aid is. And even today, when there's been much progress in hearing aids, I think they're very expensive. I think they're a couple of several thousands of dollars. So that would be enough of a price that if it was muksa on Shabbos, if it was the kind of thing you don't generally use, it would be muksa, machzor, machzor, and kis. But the whole point of these things is to wear them and use them. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, there's no way it can become muksa for the thing that it's generally used for if that thing is not usher on its own. So now he says, and it's not malachto le'isser, because he says, if you put in the battery before Shabbat, and they used to not leave the battery in because that would drain it too, I think. I just want to comment, maybe this will be stupid, but to me, the word that Rishon Zalman Auerbach in the early 1940s uses for battery, which today in Hebrew is called a solala, is a battery, in Rishon Zalman calls it an even chashmali, an electrical stone, which I think is a nicer word, a nicer term for it, but I think it's gone by the wayside. So if you put in the battery Erev Shabbat, and then you leave it there, and you leave the leave it on, so it's going to use up a lot of battery life over Shabbos, but you leave it on so you're not putting it back and forth. So he thinks that's fine, and it's not considered melachto le'isser. He says he thinks it's better than a watch. So a watch, people assume that they can wear, forget the Erev Ishus, forget wearing it outside, but you can wear it inside a house. Nobody thinks you can't wear a watch inside a house. And a watch is the kind of thing that winds, in those days, they were wind-up watches. So a wind-up watch was the kind of thing you had to wind up Shabbos. You weren't allowed to wind it on Shabbos because that was considered, which we're going to get to, it was considered tikkun kli. It's considered fixing the watch. So here with the watch, you could also say it's a malach lister. It's electric. You can't turn on the electricity on Shabbos. It's electric in the sense that it has a battery inside that it runs based on the battery. You can't turn that on Shabbos, and you can't wind it on Shabbos. So you could have said it should be considered malach dole the Isser. So the answer is, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, no. The definition of a klishim melachto le'isur of an item whose use is fundamentally prohibited is when what you do with that item is us or is prohibited. It's not that there's prohibitions related to this item. The fact that, the fact he's saying that an item is electric doesn't make it klishim melachto le'isur, an item whose uses are prohibited. It's got to be the thing the item does. But a watch, he says, what does it do? It measures the time. Right? So that's not, there's nothing in measuring time that is prohibited on Shabbat. And therefore, he thinks a watch, that's why a watch isn't a klishim melachto le'isur. Here too, and that can get to a very interesting question, but here too, what does the hearing aid do? The hearing aid captures sound from somebody who's speaking and brings it, he says, it brings it closer to the ear of the person hearing. Now, I think it probably amplifies it, but in there, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that thing that the machine is doing is not in any particular way, and this then relates to microphones. Rav Shlomo Zalman has tshuva by microphones. I saw on another occasion, and he's fairly makel, as far as I remember, early on in his life on this issue. He says it doesn't qualify as melachto le'isser. Now, you could say, well, but you need to turn it on and off. Right? So, or for a watch, you have to set it and turn it on and off. So he says, that's true. That's not allowed on Shabbat. But the fact that there are aspects of an item that are prohibited on Shabbat does not make it a klishe melachto le'isser. And then he goes on. So that's why he doesn't think it's muksa. It's not a malacha l'isser, because the actual malacha performed by this item is not in any way prohibited. That could have, I think, a lot of ramifications for a lot of electronics that we don't think about so much, to say that they're more permitted than we tend to think that they are. And then he comes to say, and by the way, when it comes to turning the electricity on or off for this hearing aid, meaning engage the battery or not engage the battery, a lot of people had assumed, and I think Rav Henkel sort of assumed, that would be a problem because we call it metikun mana, that when you turn the hearing aid off, it doesn't work. And when you turn it on, you're making it work. So that would mean that you couldn't do it because it's tikun kli. And tikun kli is prohibited, is not allowed on Shabbat. You're not allowed to fix something that's broken and unusable. So you'd say, when it's off, it's unusable. When I turn it on, I'm making it usable. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I don't think that's correct. I don't think that's the correct definition of tikun kli. I think that turning on and off the battery is more like turning on and off a lock, opening and closing a lock, meaning when the battery is off, it just prevents the electric flow that's within the battery from reaching the hearing aid. So turning it on is just opening the door to the electricity. density. So there are people who say that's aser, and they say it's a problem, and they relate it to ha'arachot ha'sha'on. I'm sorry. He says even those who prohibit setting a watch on Shabbos, winding it up, he thinks that's because a watch is different. A watch is the kind of thing that you wind it, and now it's fixed, and then it slowly, slowly, slowly dies. It slowly, slowly, slowly loses its wind up. So it is the kind of thing that it is what used to be called planned obsolescence. Although here it's not planned, it's just they couldn't figure out a better way at the time. It's where you know it's going to run out. So you turn it on, it starts. You wind it up, and it starts deteriorating already. So then, after it's deteriorated, you have to fix it again. So that is why some would hold that winding a watch is like tikkun kli, is like fixing the kli, because it started out okay, and now it's winding down. But when you have other things in halacha that are also issues of tikkun kli. So there's things called, there's a mita rifuya, there are beds that you used to take apart and put back together. There were beds where, you know, today we would fold them and fold everything, but they had parts you had to take in and out. So you would have to take the legs out, and that would make it more portable, right? And you could take the two pieces of the bed, let's say, and therefore stow it more comfortably. So there, that mita rifuya, actually, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you're not allowed to put it back together, because that's considered tikkun kli. So much so, I want to make clear, that if you put it back together, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Shin Yud Gimel and Aruch Chaim in paragraph Vav, I looked it up, if you put it back together, you're Chayav HaChatat if you did it without realizing that it's prohibited on Shabbos, meaning it's a full biblical prohibition of the Torah in fixing that kli. So, and then there's another thing called a Koshel Prakim, which was a cup that had different parts to it. So there the parts don't fit together as fully, and therefore it's not considered, the Shulchan Aruch says, most opinions hold, the Shulchan Aruch's first opinion that he presents is that you, within the case of a cup, you're allowed to take it apart and put it back together, although there are those who hold that you should treat it like the bed, and so, and the Ramah there says, even if it seems like it stays stuck together, and now it's not, even the Ramah seems to prohibit it, even in the case of the cup, depending on how loosely, in the case of the bed, depending on how loosely it's put together. So that's an issue to think about in terms of the bed and the cup. Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to say the battery pack is not like that. So the point that Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to learn from the Koshel Prakim, from the cup, which some hold you can put back together, is that apparently even when it's taken apart, it's still considered a kli, it's still considered an actual one item. And the reason he can say that is because if that weren't true, then you would be able to put it back together because of tikkun kli. So apparently it can be considered a kli even when it's taken apart. So Shlomo Zalman says the hearing aid is more like that. The hearing aid is an issue of when you turn it off, it's ready to be put back together, and there it's not taken apart, it's ready to be put back together, and therefore he thinks it can. Whereas, so why isn't that true of the watch? He says, with the watch, it's not a regular part of its functioning that you wind it, You wind it up every once in a while, maybe once a day, right? So that doesn't work. He says, if you had a watch, and later on in Jewish history you did have such watches, they had other problems with them, but if you had a watch which you would use when you used it and turn it on, you would use it to see the time, you know, it would be sort of like, although there are other problems with this, I'm not saying you can do this, but let's say I were to turn on my cell phone each time I wanted to know the time, and then turn it off again. So Shlomo Zalman says, in terms of the ability to consider that tikkun kli, he thinks that would, again, so if you had a watch where the watch, you know, flashes the time at you, then you turn it off. And when you want to know the time, you turn it on again, and it flashes at you the time, and then you turn it off again. That would be more like the hearing aid. So fundamentally, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is saying to us, he thinks that, instead of turning on and off the battery, fundamentally, he doesn't say you can do it, but he doesn't think it's a question of tikkun kli. It's not a question of fixing it, something that is now considered broken. Since we turn it on and off regularly, he doesn't think it's mitake in mana, it's fixing something. It's not even make bepatish, it's not, you know, finishing the growth of an item. Now, in the brackets in my Bar Ilan, there's brackets that they add to, like, give you references. If you look at Minchas Shlomo, Chelik Aleph, Siman Tet, they say there it seems like he doesn't agree with this. In any case, later on in his life, he seems to have stepped back from this. He also says that when you put a bed back together, you're affecting the actual the item itself. You're changing its shape. Right, until now it was a flat piece of board, let's say, without legs. You put the legs on, now it's legs. You're changing the thing, and that's why everybody would look at it and say, "Oh, that's like mitakin mana. That's like fixing up, making a new thing." Which, by the way, is why folding things are much better, because you're not making changes in the item itself. So too, when it comes to setting a watch, right? You're winding a watch, setting a watch or winding a watch, you touch a piece of the watch and you pull it in, pull it out, and you turn it around and you do these things. And inside of it, you're affecting it. So you're affecting it very directly in terms of changing it. But in our case, all that turning it on does is allows the flow of electricity. It doesn't actually change anything in the item itself. And therefore, if Shlomo Zalman thinks that it's fundamentally, he seems to think that it's pretty much okay. So you might say that, well, but it's causing new sound to happen. He says, he doesn't think it's true. It's not creating new sound. It's just making sound that exists all be more audible to the person who can hear it. And that's kind of considered moldy. That's not considered something new. And by the way, there were Baalei Tshuvot, there were Meshivim, there were those who had wrote books of responsa who felt that even with a watch, he thought you could wind and set it. The Pani Meiro thought that because it was more like the cup that you take apart because you always are doing this to it. And he thought that was enough to allow that as well, although we don't paskin that way. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is willing to say that you can't on Shabbos, it's clear to him, you can't on Shabbat insert a new battery. That you can't do, because that's like putting in a new shoelace, which we might not realize, but putting a new shoelace in lace-up shoes is tikkun mana, is fixing something that's prohibited. So that you can't do. But if there's already a battery inside from before Shabbos, just you're going to open up for the electric flow, he says, misupkani imhu isur baru. I'm not sure there's an actual prohibition here, but whether or not there's a prohibition, I mean, he's not willing to go far enough to say that it's so prohibitive that you can't, that it's so obvious that you can do it, that you can actually do it. But he is willing to say that there's no reason that that would lead to a prohibition of muksa, that there can't be any way in which that makes something muksa. And also, you don't have to be stringent, he says, to put something on the button that lets in and out the flow, because even if we think that it might be a problem when you actually turn it on, right? You're going to be machmir. We're going to say you can't turn on the electricity on Shabbos. You have to leave it on all of Shabbos. And even if we said that it's like making a new kli, but you don't have to add a chumrah to say that you have to make sure that there's no way that you know, to make sure to have a reminder not to do it, because he says the only place where Chazal said to make such reminders and to be so careful about things is when we're worried that you might tip a candle to be able to watch better, or you might shovel the coals, you might turn over the coals in a fire to try to get them to heat up more. So, but we're not worried that maybe you'll turn something off, you'll turn the lights off, or you'll turn the battery off when you don't need it. We don't know of such a halachic worry, which is an interesting thing, right? It's saying to us that we don't create new chumrot, new stringencies, when we don't need to. And he points out that, and this is going to be interesting because I always thought this wasn't true, that if you leave an umbrella open, we don't have to worry that you can't carry it because maybe you'll close it. And so too with a watch, nobody says you have to, if you're going to wear a watch on Shabbos, which is clear that you're allowed to do, that you have to put like a piece of tape over the part of the watch that you can set, over that little dial on the side of the watch where you can wind it or set it. And he said, nobody thinks you have to cover that on Shabbos to make sure that you don't touch it on Shabbos. And there's no marisai in there. There's no way that people are going to think that you did. He says it's no different than a parasol. That's the word in the tshuva. Shehacharat ha'achronim hu, that the general consensus of the achronim is that if it was open from yesterday, you can carry it in a place where there's an eruv. And you don't worry about marit ayin. You don't worry that people will look at it and think that you opened it today. Now, a parasol is not quite the same thing as an umbrella, but he's treating them the same way. But a parasol was something that women carried, you know, as a decoration or whatever. So the question was, if they left it open before Shabbat, were they allowed to carry? And he's saying he thinks the consensus of Achronim is that yes, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbat if you left it open. Now, that's not so simple either. I would point out that Rabbi Ari Enkin took for granted in one of his online writings about halacha, took for granted, this is in TorahMusings.com in 2010, he dealt with the umbrellas on Shabbos, and he took for granted that it is a problem of Marit Ayin, and he cited Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata, chapter 24, paragraph 15, and it's right there. So, Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata is a work that was written in close consultation with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So it leads me to believe that Rav Shlomo Zalman might have stepped back from some of these leniencies that he had in this tshuva, that he's writing In this letter there, that he's writing as a man in his early 30s, as he grew or matured or whatever happened, he seems to have thought differently about this, at least from the evidence of it. Then he says, I don't know why you think that sewing it onto your piece of clothing would work in terms of carrying it on Shabbos, right? Carrying it on Shabbos when there's no Eruv, so the Rav Henkin had suggested you could sew it onto your clothing on the outside. It would be like a kind of a decoration. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I don't understand. That would seem to me only when you tie it on, that only works if it's something that's generally tied on. But if you have something that has no relationship to the piece of clothing, it's not a piece of clothing, just sewing it onto something doesn't make it clothing, and then that would be like carrying it, as it says in the Beis Yosef. So here, nobody ties these things on. Nobody sews them on and wears them that way. So therefore, he thinks that's not going to help you in any halakhic way. But he's not going to say that means you can't wear you can't carry the battery pack with you outside where there's no Eruv, because he says there's another reason. He says anything that people wear lirifuah, people wear it as a matter of healing, chashiv tachshit. He thinks it's considered a decoration. It's considered a decoration. The Shulchan Aruch says decoration, meaning it's sort of like jewelry that men would wear or that people would wear. It'd be something that we wear to help us look better. And that's why, for example, you can walk around on Shabbos with, the example they have is a sponge you would put on a wound. Today we were talking about Band-Aids and things like that, because they're considered, because by virtue of the fact that they help us be healed and help us stand up better and help us, you know, be walk around, so therefore it's considered tachshit, and therefore it's considered on us in a part of our, not our clothing, but that which is attached to us, such that halakhically there's no problem with Eruv. So since you need the battery pack to be able to hear through the hearing aid, or someone says it's like a rifuah issue, it's like a medical issue, and therefore even the battery pack, although the battery pack only supports the earpiece, but even the battery pack would qualify as a tachshit, as a decoration, therefore the person should be able to wear it. And it's no worse, he says, than the halakha is, and this goes back hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years, the halakha is you're allowed to wear an amulet on Shabbos, was written by a mumcha, by an expert, so this is sort of no worse than that, he says, and therefore he thinks you should be able to wear it for that reason. So that's the end of the first letter that Shlomo Zalman wrote. We've only got a couple minutes left, so the most interesting thing about this whole tshuva as it appears in Minchat Shlomo, as it appears in the response of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, is that the letter back from Rav Henkin is dated to Motzei Shabbat of Tazria Mitzora of Tufshin Zion of 1947, meaning more than 4 years later. So Rav Henkin writes back more than 4 years later. He says, 4 years ago, I asked Mr. Zalman Meltzer about hearing aids, and you sent me a letter about it, and then to my chagrin, to my distress, the letter got lost and disappeared until this week. So I find that so interesting, because it sounds like Rav Henkin never responded to Rav Shlomo Zalman, because he would never have responded because he didn't know he got a letter back. Sounds like not only did he never respond, he never contacted Rav Zalman with another letter saying, I sent you a letter, do you have anything you wanted to tell me about it? And Rav Shlomo Zalman never heard back from Rav Henkin and never followed up on it either. So I don't know what that means, but it sounds like there was a lot of just not following up on this issue. So 4 years later, he writes back to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he says, I also was matir this hearing aid. I agree with you. At the time, I said you can use it. And then the man who I said you could use it to was a rabbi who was hard of hearing and who ended up deciding not to use it because the machine broke, like the first week that he used it on Shabbos, and he took that as a sign that he wasn't supposed to be using it on Shabbos. So that's a whole topic of its own about when we take signs from heaven and not, and how we treat them. In any case, he says, I also wrote an article in wherever it is, but that said that when you have batteries or electricity that is not doing any particular malacha, that turning it on and off is more like setting a watch or winding a watch. There are those who are matir that, at least if you have a non-Jew do it for you, right? The question of what we can have non-Jews do for us. So in cases of certain kinds of need, if it's only a derabanan, there are situations where we're allowed to do that because it would be a shvut. Sort of Henkin had suggested that was true of turning the battery on and on. But he says, it seems to me that you didn't understand a couple of my doubts. So, for example, I've heard, he says, that when you turn on a battery on a hearing aid, that inside of it there's a metal wire that turns red from the heat of the electricity going through it, and therefore that should be a problem to oraita, like with fluorescent lights. It's a problem of when you heat something till it lights up things. That's a problem of mavir or maybe bishul. It's a problem of burning or maybe even of cooking. So that's what I was worried about. So even if you tell me that there's no such thing as burning with metal, which is a machloket in the Rishonim, but there's at least a derabanan about it. And therefore, I was worried that if we turn the battery on Shabbat, that it would be a problem. And then I would also worried, and this is why I thought it might be muksa, I mean, basically he's saying, I knew a lot of the stuff you were saying already, but I thought it might be muksa because if we treat it as if there's something burning inside, it's sort of like a burning candle that's being burned, right? That would mean then that when I carry it, I'm carrying something that's supporting a burning candle. That's called a basis ledavar aser. It's called a base for something that's prohibited, and that's why I thought you might not be able to carry it around. And then he goes on into the question of when he says, you know, that Shlomo Zalman said it was a tachshit, it was like a medical thing, and therefore you could wear it. He says, yeah, and I was suggesting that you sew it on to make it clear that it's even more of a decoration. So there's a brief answer for Shlomo Zalman. He says, first of all, he's never seen a hearing aid where the battery causes it to burn like that, to glow bright red when it does it, which would be a problem. He says, if it does that, it's certainly a big problem, but I've never seen such a thing. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I've never seen it. And it goes on from there. So we'll stop here. But those were some interesting issues. Almost all the interesting issues with hearing aids on wearing them on Shabbat in a correspondence between Shlomo Zalman and Auerbach and Rav Yosef Eliel Henkin that produced this very interesting tshuva. And that is a response of a day for the 19th of Shvat.